You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, men still vastly outnumber women in politics here in Wisconsin and beyond. Our guest looks at the gender-based hate that some women in politics face when they decide to lead in the public eye.
Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. There are many kinds of homes, from the place we actually live to the coffee shop that's an extension of our living room. When poet Kim Blazer moved to Milwaukee, she found her book home in a place that's been nurturing poets and celebrating poetry for decades.
The year is 1987, and I am an acronym, ABD, all but dissertation graduate student, just hired to teach at UW-Milwaukee. During my first month, I find a book home. A longtime haunter of bookstores, I have particular needs. This place measures up. Eclectic, homey, customer-friendly, and with good reading chairs. This is no chain bookstore. This is a nonprofit book center specializing in poetry and fine print materials. Soon I discover the three-room book center also sponsors community programs, readings, workshops, experimental films, youth camps, music performances, anything in the arts, including an edible book show. One year, in a time before Facebook, I receive a word-of-mouth notice that Tuvan throat singers would perform. Imagine hearing one person produce multiple vocal sounds simultaneously, their bagpipe bodies defying the limitations of a single voice box. In the days that follow, I try churning new sounds from my throat, and I count this profit to my poetry. I relish bringing student writers into this community space where book lovers gather, many of them reading in public for the first time, their grandparents and college roommates in tow. We pause when we are done to mingle and talk about their talent, their hunger for a life that someone somewhere does not support, about books when we get by all the rest. This Renaissance Book Center was founded in 1979 by artist Ann Kingsbury and poet Carl Gartung. The name, Woodland Pattern. Now the year is 2015. I have just picked up world-renowned poet Quincy Troupe from the airport and his first request to go to Woodland Pattern. The year is 2016. 143 poets have signed up to perform five-minute slots in the 22nd Annual Poetry Marathon. 10 hours in, during the 7 to 8 hour, I challenge the poets to recite by heart a poem by a poet they love. Many take up the challenge, reciting snippets or whole poems with a particular frivolity I attribute to the atmosphere of the place as much as the late hour. Writers I meet from around the country inquire about Woodland Pattern as if asking about a cultural landmark. Indeed, perhaps they do. This book-scented building, this Milwaukee River West storefront with changing artwork on its exterior walls, has welcomed the likes of Alice Notley, Joy Harjo, Ed Saunders, Diane Wachowski, and it has welcomed me.
Kim Blazer is Wisconsin's Poet Laureate. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. For more info, go to wisconsinlife.org.
We just heard from Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, and joining us now is Oscar Morales, who was recently named the City of Madison's Poet Laureate. Oscar, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Well, you brought along a book of your work today in studio, and you're going to start us out with a poem about Father's Day, so a little bit early there. What have you got for us?
This is a poem I wrote a couple years ago for my children, and it goes like this. Father's Day poem, a day late. My children are old enough to know it is Father's Day, but the younger two are not old enough to work or buy gifts. So my girlfriend got the gift, an electronic Sudoku game. And my daughter and son gave it to me. No, it wasn't wrapped, except with the delight on their faces, giving me something they knew I would like. My 19-year-old son, who just got his first summer college area subleased apartment, but not enough money for food or toilet paper, decided to text me this message. Happy Father's Day, Pop, at 9:33 p.m. the day before, just in case he forgot to wake up before noon the next day. My other son, the 18-year-old, who headed off to college a little early, sent me an e-card. Happy Father's Day. It's too bad I can't be home this weekend, but happy Father's Day. And it reminded me that just being remembered is the greatest gift one can ask for from teenagers on Father's Day.
Oscar, thanks a lot for sharing that. What first got you into writing poetry and expressing these kind of feelings in poetry form?
Well, I was born in a family of 12 children. Some of them I'm related to, other ones I love. And it was part of the journey was trying to find my voice. When you have 12 siblings and a couple of friends and parents thrown in, it's hard to find your voice.
So how did you do that? Through poetry? How did you know when it was the voice, the authentic voice of Oscar coming through?
Well, I'm a naturally shy person, so I had a little time to think. And since my brothers and sisters didn't give me time to speak, I had to make sure that the little moments I had something to say. So it forced me to go inside a little bit deeper at a lot younger age.
What is it about poetry that harness your voice so, not concisely exactly, but so powerfully?
Well, I think poetry is one of the few things that can distill pretty complex issues into something simple. Like this poem's about Father's Day, and yes, children are supposed to honor their parents, but I think it's gotten too commercialized, and I think for me it was just the fact that they were old enough to still kind of think about me, because sometimes when they're a little younger, you sort of get a little more inner focus, but the fact that they thought about me made a big difference.
Now, you're the poet laureate in Madison, and I'm curious, what are the duties of the poet laureate? What do you do to keep the spirit of poetry alive?
Well, last week I was at Shabazz High School on a Friday afternoon around 2:30, a couple weeks before school ended, and I started off sharing that when I was 16, 17, the last place I'd want to be is listen to poetry. You know, on a Friday afternoon, but they hung in there, and they were wonderful. They were very supportive. Young people don't clap anymore. They snap their fingers. I can't do it anymore. But they were just very responsive and very good. And yesterday I had, there was a poetry marathon at Olbrich Gardens, and later on next week I'll be showcasing the graphic artwork that was done by Edgewood College students for the Bus Lines Poetry. Mm. So they're keeping me busy.
Now, poetry seems like one of the most personalized forms of expression, so it's hard to give one-size-fits-all advice. That said, if there are people out there thinking, I want to start or maybe get back to writing poetry, what would you say to them?
Grab a pen, you know, and just as you write, ask the editor to leave the room. So when you write, have that freedom to not censor yourself, have that freedom to find that truth a little easier. Actually, right now I type on my cell phone, so it's a little easier. But writing fearlessly, and it's scary and it's vulnerable, but that's where you find the most powerful poetry.
I know that the poetry often reflects the inner state of the poet, the turmoil or the joy. But does the poetry you write ever turn around and change you?
I think as I read some poetry that I've written a lot of poems, but I'm not as organized as I'm supposed to be. But when I find pieces that I've written 10 or 15 years ago, I find work that is really impresses me because it's actually pretty good, and I sort of almost can't believe I wrote it. So that's always kind of refreshing. But I think it's it took me a long while to share with other people that I was a poet, because I wanted to honor the art and the craft. And one of the nice things of being Poet Laureate is a lot more people are coming up to me and saying that, one, they didn't know I was a writer. Half the people don't know I'm a writer, because I'm a school principal, wrestling coach, and I'm a community activist. But they're writing again, and I think that's been probably the greatest joy, is inspiring other people to write again.
Briefly, Oscar, when you ask people around the world what they know about Wisconsin, I'm guessing poetry won't be at the top of their list, but do we have a thriving poetry scene here in the state?
Yes, I think it's led by the Wisconsin Fellowship of Poets. They produce the poetry calendar. The UW has a fine MFA program that's produced just some delightful writers, including one of our writers in the book, Luana Montero. I think my book, I didn't know there were Latinos in Wisconsin. It's not as famous as the Packers, but getting close.
Well, thank you so much for coming on, sharing poetry and talking poetry with us today.
Thanks a lot.
That was poet Oscar Morales, who was recently named the City of Madison's Poet Laureate, author of the book I Didn't Know There Were Latinos in Wisconsin.
Coming up, name-calling, appearance trolling, and sexual suggestion, they're all part of what women in politics face online and off. We'll find out how women active in Wisconsin's political scene handle the hate. I'm Rob Ferrick.
And I'm Veronica Ricker. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.